Just say out loud with me, because it feels good to feel good. So I just say, good morning. This is a good morning. This is me and my good morning. Setting an intention that it is a good day. This is a good day. This is a beautiful day. His grace is sufficient today. His love is present today. He is present with me today. This is a good day. This is me walking through. This is me being present. This is me welcoming in the spirit of love and joy and peace, patience, kindness, gentleness. This is me welcoming in all of the things that I need to take each step today. And I just say, thank you. Thank you, Father, for this day. And I feel like saying these things out loud forces your brain to forget or to not go into any other path when you start your day with that. So let's start our day with that today. It's a good day. And we thank you, Father, for your presence. And we are so thankful to get to be here and to get to worship him and to get to thank him for what he's doing, what he has done, what he will do, and to know that he is the hope of glory and that we carry that living hope inside of us. And that's why we get to have a good day. So let's have a good day.
Light the way and new our hearts. thank you, God, that you are bigger, that you are stronger than all those things, than all things. Thank you, God, that you've got us, that you love us unconditionally, God. Thank you that you fight for me. Thank you that you don't give up on me. Thank you, God, that you don't stop loving and caring. Thank you, Jesus.
So take never failing. He's never failing. He's never failing. He's never failing. I'll wait for you. I hope in you. We wait for you. Oh my God, my soul cries out. I'll wait for you. We wait for you. You're never failing. You're never failing.
This has been a big year for change, and all good changes, and a lot of just other stuff going on, but I was really struggling with several things in, you know, being patient, being in the waiting, and, you know, not wondering what's going to look like, just not having peace about any of the decisions or any of the things, and just not having a comfort. And God said, go back to the beginning. Go back to where you first sought me and you first asked for me. And I was in my early 20s and I wanted more. I wanted more of him. I wanted more of his peace. I wanted more of his character, his kindness, his control, his love. I wanted more and more and more. And that has been consistent. It has not stopped. And he said, you sought me. And I showed up. I showed you. I came in the waiting. I showed you these things. And in his word, he declared, he is my refuge. He is my place of safety. He will rescue me and protect me. He will cover me. He will shelter me. He is faithful. Don't be afraid. Don't dread. No evil will conquer you. I will protect those who trust in him, who love him, who don't stop seeking him. And even if you don't, if you have fear, if you have doubt, if you have these things, he's going to protect you. He says it right here in his word. That's why I bring this. I know these things that I want to show you. That's what he said. This is... It says, you thrill me, Lord, with all you have done. You thrill me. And I can look back from the beginning and what he's brought Michael and I through and our family, what he has overcome with us, what he has taken and made more beautiful and more exciting and more amazing than I could ever, ever imagine. That I could ever declare, that I could ever want. He knew more about what I wanted and what I needed in my life than I could fathom. And he made it better. He did that. He has done that. He continues to do that. He will, he has, and he will go on forever. He is so good. Find comfort and what he has done when you don't know what's going to be done. Have peace in his goodness, in his faithfulness, his enduring faithfulness. Amen.
Holy, holy is he. Is he your everything? Or just part of it? Hope you got your bulletins inside as your connection card. Lots of things we need you to gear up for. We have a Thanks and Giving meal coming up in November, and there's youth camp, the mini camp they do down in Camp Thunder. They'll be camping, and we need you to help with Rushton Hope. So make sure that you fill that out and get that. There will be no at the table this Wednesday night. That has been canceled, but we are gearing up for November the 5th, I believe. Is it? No. Now, whatever, the first Wednesday in November, whatever that may be, is our campfire worship. So make sure that you make plans for that. We will have a meal that evening and have lots of good stuff. I'm not exactly sure why. You know, most of the time when Pastor Bieran goes on vacation, I get to speak, and I enjoy doing that. And so this year he's scheduled vacation, but he came back the two times that I'm speaking. So I don't know if I'm being graded or judged or exactly what it is. But you know, if you know Pastor Bieran in any way, he cannot sit still and in one place for long periods of time. And besides, Garth Brooks was in Atlanta, so he had to be in Atlanta this week. So it was good. The stadium was incredible. The sound was horrible. Makes you grateful for the sound we have here. And some of you are going, you got to be kidding. Yes, it was that bad in the stadium. And so at the table, and we're talking about family at the table. A couple of weeks ago, if you were here, you got to hear me talk about that, and I talked a lot about the parent-teen relationship, but we taught you some principles and things that were very important in everyday life apart from parents and teens. And then if you were here last week, you heard Joey talk on blended family. It was just powerful. It was incredible. Best I think he's ever done. So if you missed both of those, you need to go online and you need to watch those. And today I'm going to be talking about family table. And if I had to give it a subheading, I would how to bulletproof your marriage. And I'm careful with that terminology because some times when some people think of bulletproof, they think of Superman. And it doesn't matter what's going on with Superman, he's not going to be harmed by a bullet, okay? Some people think of a law enforcement officer that has the Kevlar vest on, and if the bullet hits him in the right spot, if he's prepared, it's not going to kill him, but he could still get injured if he's not careful, okay? But some people would still say, because of that, he's bulletproof. And so I know that in my own life, Jennifer and I have worked hard at our marriage, worked hard at making good decisions, and times we've made bad decisions and still going through the motions with those decisions. But I want to start with a scripture verse, and that is Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21. And the six verses prior to that talk about living by the Spirit's power. And I'm not going to read all of the verses prior to that, but as it talks about, be careful how you live. Don't be like fools. Don't get drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Give thanks for everything to God and our Lord Jesus Christ. And the next statement that he says is this verse right here. And further, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Now, prior to this verse, he's talking to everybody in general. Okay? And so this verse, a lot of times, because it's incorporated with the verses that come after that, a lot of people feel as though it has to do with the husband-wife relationship that you're supposed to submit to one another. And there's truth to that. But we're supposed to submit to one another in relationship, in family. I'm submitted to Pastor Buren. The eldership here is submitted one to another. Those of you that are in leadership are submitted, and you voice your opinions at times, but we're working together and moving together as a body, as a unit. So before I go any farther, I want to make sure that it's clear that you are supposed to be submitting. That's why we talk about doing life together. Having friends, having relationships, having someone that's going to encourage you. Some of you see a life coach. That's submitting to somebody. Some of you are in counseling. That's having somebody that you're submitted to in that. Some of you come and talk to a pastor at different times with different issues. That's submitting to one to another. It's important. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 30 through 33. And if you didn't notice, I skipped a bunch of verses, and I'm going to come back to those. But it says, "And we are members of his body. As the scriptures say, a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united into one. This is a great mystery, but it is an illustration of the way Christ and the church are one. So again, I say, each man must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband." I feel as though I could add a word in there and it wouldn't change anything. Now, I am careful about adding words or taking words away from Scripture, but where I would add a word, what might have been was, as a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, the two are united into one family. That mystery is there, the union of husband and wife becoming one. But it becomes the family unit. So my first point that I want to make to you today is that you are a complete family without kids. Think about that for a second. You are a complete family without kids. Why is that important? That's huge, because what if you're not able to have kids? Are you still a family? Of course you are. What if you've chosen not to have children? Are you still a family? Of course you are. So what are children then? They are a welcomed addition to your already existing family. You invite them in. Some of you invite several of them in. 2, 3, 4, Brady Bunch. 6, 8, whatever the case may be, they're a welcome addition to your family. Now, your family dynamics change. How the family operates, what goes on, what takes place, all of that begins to develop and it takes on new form and fashion. I know that Sonny and Lauren have another second child, and so their lives have changed just a little bit. Is that true, Sonny? Yeah. He kind of got the one thing figured out, but you bring that second one in, it's a game changer. And then BJ and Lauren, it's an initial big time. You have this one, and then all of a sudden you go from 1 to 3. And it's a what? And did your life change any? Oh, yeah. They can't even come to church unless they're together. Maybe we should get everybody twins. Just teasing. Y'all get to that a little later. But kids are a welcome addition. Why it is so important, though, that you have a grasp and an understanding that you're a complete family without your children is because you have to know that the husband-wife relationship has got to be the primary relationship in that family. It has got to be the nucleus. If it's not, it will fall apart at some point in time. Now, granted, life totally changes. You don't do date nights every Friday and Saturday night now, do you? You can't do it all of the time. But it is important that BJ and Lauren continue to do some date nights. That they save those extra funds to be able to get a sitter or talk grandma into being there to handle some things so that they can focus on that relationship. Ephesians 5, 22 through 29. Let me read it to you. Because we already said that further, submit to one another over our reverence for Christ, out of reverence for Christ. Then 22 says, for wives, this means submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For a husband is the head of his wife, as Christ is the head of the church. He is the Savior of his body, the church. As the church submits to Christ, so you wives should submit to your husbands in everything. Husbands, this means love your wives just as Christ loved the church. He gave up his life for her to make her holy and clean, washed by the cleansing of God's word. Guys, did you hear that? He gave up his... Anyway, we'll move on. He did this to present her to himself as a glorious church, without a spot or wrinkle or any other blemish. Instead, she will be holy and without fault. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as they love their own bodies. For a man who loves his wife actually shows love for himself. No one hates his own body, but feeds and cares for it, just as Christ cares for the church, and we are members of his body. The husband-wife relationship has got to be the most important. Now, you're going to begin to develop relationships with your children. That first child comes along, and you have, you know, after about a year, they're starting to get this personality, and they're full of these ideas and things that you're seeing, and you're falling in love with more and more. You know, obviously, when it first comes, you're in love, but then day by day, that relationship with that child grows. And then a second child comes along, and before it gets here, you're kind of going, how in the world can I love this second child as much as I love this first child? But it happens. You do. The relationship begins to develop. You begin to do these things, and you make it priority. There are, and I didn't bring the book. I was going to thought about doing it, but in Parenting God's Way, Gary and Anne-Marie Ezzo, they talk about seven different styles of parenting, and I'm not going to remember them all, but one of them was a manipulating parent. One of them was a permissive parent. One of them was a overprotective parent. One was an authoritarian parent. And then got down to the very last one, and it's the biblically balanced parent. You go, well, that's the one I want to be. But one of the things that it said was, the six negative parenting styles that the biblically balanced parent is a portion of all of those. The thing that you don't want to be is be your child to be able to identify, ooh, that one's my mama, or that one's my daddy. And so these relationships with your children are growing and they're developing, but the husband-wife relationship has got to be and remain the priority. Where are you putting the most emphasis? See, a lot of people say, well, what is more important? Should I have quantity time or quality time? Think about that for just a second. Should I have quantity time or should I have quality time? The answer is really neither of those, because you need both. Sometimes it's quality, sometimes it's quantity, but the most important thing that you can have is a relationship. Because out of relationship, you can move from having an authority to having an influence. If I don't have a relationship with Jennifer, I have no influence over her life. By the way, Jennifer's celebrating her 48th birthday today. And I guess, I think it's after 50, you're not supposed to actually use the age. Is that right? Or is it 29? You don't know. I got to thinking I may have been in trouble by saying that. I'll find out. Very good. But this relationship has got to be focused on. It's got to be nurtured. It's got to be grown. Grown. Which means that you have to feed it. This week I follow a few people. I don't follow as many people as a lot of people follow on Instagram or different things, but I follow a few people, and a slide that came up, I think we have the first photo here, is Stephen Furtick, and I thought it was pretty cool. He says, sometimes the way you say something is just as important as what you are saying. Now, some of you are going, oh, Stephen Furtick, he's cool. I like him. I follow him. Some of you are going, who is Stephen Furtick? But he pastors a very large church, and a lot of people are like his fiery way of talking and speaking. But this is something that in my own life I have been working on, because it's an issue that I have. Sometimes because of my upbringing, I had God from, no, I'm just teasing. Mom and Dad were wonderful, great parents, and they instilled a lot of biblical values and principles and things into my life. And so I know a lot of those things, and I know the right thing to say, don't I, Jen? But sometimes saying the right thing is not all that it takes. It's saying it in the right way. Because, and I wrote this down, because saying the right thing does not make your spouse feel the right thing. Now, there is a balance in your relationship. I have to do what I am supposed to do. Jennifer has to do what she is supposed to do. But I can't worry about what she's doing. I have to worry about what I'm doing. There's a balance with that. Now, this morning I got up, and there was another famous person that had put an Instagram up. In every disagreement in marriage, remember this one important truth. My spouse is my partner, not my enemy. We will either win together or we will lose together. How often or sometimes we forget that. See, many of you are famous because you find quotes or think of quotes and you post them on Instagram, and they're there for the rest of your lifetime, for the world to see. Be careful what you post. Is it encouraging someone, or is it uplifting someone? Is it helping your mate, your spouse? Is it encouraging them? Be careful what you post. Guys, I don't know if you know this or not, but your wife's number one need, anybody know what it is? I got people thinking, I might know it. Wife's number one need is to feel safe, secure, and taken care of. That's her number one need. How are you doing at meeting that need? Ladies, you know what your husband's number one need is? No, not that. Number one need is to feel respected. What are you doing? What are you tangibly doing to make that happen? You see, I remember this every time I talk about this. It's all the way back from a cassette tape I used to have when I was 10 years old. And I had taken it from my older brother. And it was just a comic relief tape. And it was Mike Warnke. And I know there's lots of controversy about Mike Warnke and his stories and what he did or didn't do. But he made this statement, I'll remember it forever. And basically what he said is, there's a whole lot more do's in the book, talking about the Bible, than there are don'ts. If you spend the time doing the do's, you won't have time to do the don'ts. If you could, you wouldn't, so you can't, so you don't, so do it. You have a responsibility. You have an obligation to do what Christ has called you to do, to be who Christ has called you to be first, so that your doing then gets the most benefit from it. And in this relationship that you've made as the primary relationship, you've made as the hub, all of these other relationships can spin out of it, and you can have them. But if I don't make Jennifer feel as though that is the most important, then she will begin, if she's not doing what she's supposed to be doing, to regret and have issues with me. In the position that I'm in, I have a lot of relationships. I text with a lot of different people. I encourage a lot of different people. But I have to work hard at making sure that she feels to be number one. Because even though I may be saying it, if she's not feeling it, then I might have to change and do something different. So number one, I said, was you're a complete family without your kids. Number two, husband-wife relationship is the primary relationship. Number three is I want to encourage you to eliminate expectations. Eliminate expectations, both agreed upon and non-agreed upon. Jennifer and I were not completely naive, but before we got married, we made a deal. I would clean the bathtubs, she would do the ironing. Okay? Now, at the time, there was nothing wrong with that. That was kind of our plan. We were going into this until she stopped ironing. And I was like, what happened? And so for a period of time, I stopped cleaning tubs. But those were expectations that we had agreed upon. And there was a little bit of controversy. Now, these are not huge things. But I promise you, we haven't even talked about this, but I promise you, there has only been on one hand that she has ever asked me to iron something of hers. Why? Probably because she knows that I don't like to iron, and that I'm probably not going to do as good a job as she's going to do anyway. But I don't even ask that of her now. I don't have that expectation of her. I don't know whether or not she has an expectation of me to clean tubs, but I'm cleaning tubs. She is, so grateful every time I do it. Because there's times that I'm not there to do it and she does it. And she knows what energy that it takes. How often are you being grateful and thankful to your spouse for the things that they do, even if it's something that is expected in the relationship? Now, we haven't set aside, these are her chores and these are my chores. But I take the responsibility of the yard, and she kind of takes the responsibility of the house. But if I come home and the house is a wreck and not clean, I don't need to have this expectation of, what did you do today? First of all, I have no idea maybe what went on for her day. What took place. But these expectations, and think about the non-agreed upon expectations that you have. These are the things that were developed in your childhood, 9 times out of 10. These are the things that you saw your parents model, and so you then have an attitude going into this marriage that my wife ought to do this, or my husband ought to do this. But if you're going to make the husband-wife relationship the primary relationship, you're going to have open communication about these things and be able to have a discussion on these things. And you're going to have to be okay with who she is, or she's going to have to be okay with who I am. Whether it gets done or whether it doesn't get done. Because the relationship is what is the key. Colossians 3, verse 19, says, husbands, love your wives and never treat them harshly. The verse before that talks about wives, but it basically is talking about submitting, which we've already established at the very beginning, that we're all supposed to submit one to another. So he kind of threw that in there as something for the wife to do, but everybody is already supposed to do that. So he makes a special point to husbands to make sure that you are not being harsh. That you're not raising your voice. That you're not being ugly. I believe the most two things that you need to do to most be able to bulletproof your marriage is these two things, very simple. Number one, if you're taking notes, write it down. Honest, open communication about your feelings. Think about this for a minute. Honest, open communication about your feelings. See, we have learned that feelings are neither right nor wrong. As men, a lot of times, if our feelings cause us to be vulnerable, cause us to feel weak, cause us to be needy, cause us to feel as though we don't have it all together, causes us to, you know, feel like maybe we don't, you know, we're not stellar, we have a tendency to shut down and not share those feelings. It's an area we're working on, isn't it? It's difficult for me. You know why? Because I have to say 3 words sometimes. I was wrong. What? I was wrong. I hate saying those words. I know it's an issue that I have to deal with. But when Jennifer and I came together and it became the husband-wife relationship and we became one family, God uses her to help perfect me. And that's the only part I can worry about. I know that God uses me to help perfect her, but that's her job. She's got to deal with those things. So if I am learning how to have open, honest communication about feelings, it doesn't allow things to build up. It doesn't allow things to become surprises. I can tell you, my heart breaks for families that attended here or in our community across this nation that have gone so long and they get to the point where they can't go any farther and they divorce. And had there been open, honest communication about feelings and working together, that wouldn't have happened. They'd have worked through it. They'd have been accepting of one another and their difficulties and their faults. The second thing is equally as important. You've got to be willing to change. You got to be willing to change. You got to be willing to do things differently. If what was working and what was great in your marriage stops, then don't keep doing it. Do something different that will be great and wonderful in your marriage. You've got to identify that. You've got to be able to say those words, whoa, this is wrong. We got to do something different. Last I heard, statistics, the Christian divorce rate is actually exceeding non-Christian divorce rate. And the reason for that is there's a lot of non-Christian that are not getting married. So there's no divorce to happen. Doesn't mean there's not together and then breaking up. But gang, we've got to be different. We've got to break the statistics. If you've been divorced and are happily married, keep working on that relationship. If you're divorced and you haven't found that spouse yet the second time around, be working on yourself to be prepared for that. If you're in your first relationship and you feel as though you're stuck and it's not going anywhere, it can change. It can get better. But you have got to do something for that to happen. You've got to make that relationship the most important thing. You've got to begin meeting those needs. You have got to do the do's and don't worry about the don'ts that you don't have time to figure out. Because you'll be so busy doing the do's. You will be an example to your children. You will be an example to your neighbors. You will be an example in the church. You'll be an example in the community. Relationships that are able to test, to stand the test of time, and to be strong. Now, it takes work. It takes communication. When the kids were in the house, it was 9-0. We had soccer practice here and dance here and this practice here. I mean, we were outnumbered at times. We needed grandparents to help us to do some of the shuttle. We had a relationship, we still made it primary, but it was hard to make it primary. It's gotten easier in the last 5 years, 8 years. Two are out of the house. One's barely there. My little bit of vulnerability, we have probably argued and fussed more in the last 5 years than we did in the first 25 years. Is that a bad thing? Yes and no. If it's just arguing and fussing for the sake of arguing and fussing, it's a bad thing. But if we're learning how to share our feelings, to develop this relationship, to allow it to grow deeper, to allow it to grow stronger, allowing us to be more bulletproof, right. Then it's a good thing. And there's times that she wants to go to sleep and me stop talking. And there's times I want to go to sleep and her stop talking. And there's times that we agree to disagree and we just go to bed. Wake up in the morning and it looks a little different. Right. We've had those times. But if we're going to make a change in this world, we have got to refocus on the family. You don't have to keep up with the Joneses and everything they do. Sure, you've got decisions to make. What age does my child get a cell phone? That's a biggie. It's huge. You've got to work through all of those things that come your way. What school should they go to? What sports should they be involved with? It affects the family. But child-centered parenting, when the kids grow up and move out, there'll be no relationship with mom and dad. And it will dissolve. What changes do you need to make in your life? As the band is coming, where are you at? What needs to take place? How are you going to do different? Are you able to say, I was wrong? It's getting easier for me. Still not fun. When I first got married, I thought I was here and Jenny was here. That's what I thought. Stupid, but that was what I thought. You know, and then I got to a point that I'm here and she's here. But over the last 3 years, I've learned so much from her. I'm beginning to look at her here and me here. It's not the case, but that's how I'm beginning to view it. When you go all in, whether it's with God and your relationship with Him, or your spouse and your relationship with them, becomes about them. The reality of where my dad is right now. He's at home. He's in a bed. His mind is all there. His body just isn't able to get out of the bed. But the way that my mother treats him has so blown me away. If I was dad, I wouldn't go anywhere either. I got somebody doting over me, loving on me, speaking kindness to me. Got a couple more years at this probably. Isn't that right, Kate? We don't know. Are you going to be in a position when your spouse is laying in a bed to have that much love and gratitude to give? I sure hope so. I really hope Jenny does. But it takes work to get to there. It doesn't happen. You have to nurture it. You have to feed it. Everyone would stand. Father, Lord, I thank you for this church, for these families even those that can't be here today, Lord, fall break or whatever's going on, Lord, I ask you, Lord, just to nurture and strengthen them. I ask you, Father, Lord, that you will give them the ability to be open and honest about their feelings, that you will continue to allow them to be willing and open for change in their life, and that it will, these families will grow and be strong and strengthened. I thank you for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. If our ushers will be preparing to receive our morning's tithes and offerings and alms, I want to thank you for your faithfulness. It is pretty astounding to see the goodness of God each and every week. The last 4 weeks with Barbara being gone, I've gotten to do some of that paperwork stuff that has to be done, deposits and those kind of things. And seeing your faithfulness, knowing that you are being blessed because you are doing what God has called you to do and being who God has called you to be. That people's lives are being touched because we're able to have funds to feed them at different times, or we're able to keep their lights on. It's your faithfulness that allows that to happen. And this church making an impact in this community. We may not be the largest church, and that's okay. But my goodness, you are doing some great work in this community. And I thank you for that. I thank you for that. God bless. You may take those. Why don't you stand and let's worship before we're dismissed.
He's in the waiting. He's never failing. He's never failing. He's never failing. He's never failing. He's never failing.
Thank you, Father. That's so exciting and it's so thrilling to know that and believe in that and trust in that. Hope you guys have a wonderful week.